So now we come to wholesome karma or kusala karma. So we finish the 10 unwholesome causes of action. Wholesome karma of the sense sphere is threefold according to the doors of action, namely bodily action pertaining to the door of the body, verbal action pertaining to the door of speech, and mental action pertaining to the door of mind. This is almost the same as with the unwholesome karma. So wholesome karma is also of three kinds: bodily actions, verbal actions, and mental actions. And they occur through the door of body, the door of speech, and the door of mind. So we get three kinds of wholesome karma, the bodily action, and so on. These are actually the opposites of the 10 akusala karmas just mentioned. So for the kusala kaya kama, that means abstention from killing living beings, abstention from stealing, abstention from sexual misconduct, and so on. And for the 4, through the door of the speech, abstention from false speech, and so on. And for the 3, mental actions, the first one is called non-covetousness. And the second one is non-ill will, that means loving kindness. And the third one is right view. So in this way, we get 10 wholesome causes of action. So actually, they are the opposite of the 10 unwholesome causes of action. And also, the wholesome karma of the sense sphere is divided into first 3, giving, sila, and mental development. In Pali, dana, sila, and bhavana. When these wholesome actions are performed, one of the 8 karma vajra kusala consciousness arises in the mind. So, by way of arising of consciousness, they are eightfold. That means with these 8 types of consciousness, or with one of these 8 types of consciousness, we do these wholesome karmas of the sense sphere, dana, sila, and bhavana. Again, dana, sila, and bhavana are expanded into 10 kinds of wholesome actions. So when they are tenfold, they are 1, giving dana, 2, virtue, sila, and 3, meditation or mental development, mental culture, bhavana. Now, dana, as you know, is giving, the practice of charity. So giving what you have, giving food to the monks and to the Buddha and so on, or offering other requisites, or just giving to some charitable purposes. So this is giving, dana. When giving is done with respect to the recipient, we call it dana. So actually, dana means just giving. So giving to the pets in your house is also a dana. So feeding them food is also a kind of dana. And the second one is sila, virtue. Sila is actually abstention from wrongdoing. That is why you have the precepts, as I undertake the training precept of abstention from killing and so on. Now, with regard to sila, please note that sila is the control of bodily actions and verbal actions. Sila is not control of mental actions. So by sila, we can control our bodily actions and verbal actions, but not mental actions. Because the nature of sila is abstention, so abstention from wrongdoing. So, suppose you practice dana in your mind. That is not dana. It is just thinking in the mind. So sila here is the abstention from wrongdoing by body or by speech. So if you think of killing a human being or killing a being, just thinking will not constitute breaking of sila. Your sila is still intact, although it may be contaminated, although it may become dirty by your wish to kill. But so long as you do not practice killing with your body or some command, your sila is still intact. So this, please note, because there are people who say, if you even think of killing, you have broken the sila. But that is not so. So sila is broken only when you do something with your body and your mind. Just thinking in the mind will not break your sila, although it is a bad, unwholesome, or wrongdoing in the mind. So sila has to do with only the bodily actions and verbal actions, and not with mental actions. I'm not encouraging you to think bad thoughts. But just thinking bad thoughts does not constitute breaking of the moral precepts. So the third one is bhavana. Bhavana means making much, developing. So here, developing means developing your mind through practice of meditation. So it is just translated as meditation. With regard to meditation, as you know, that you can practice samatha meditation or vipassana meditation. Samatha meditation by itself, without vipassana meditation, cannot lead you to enlightenment. But vipassana, even without samatha, can lead you to enlightenment. So, whether you practice samatha or not, you must practice vipassana if you want to gain enlightenment. And there are 40 subjects of samatha meditation. You can take any one of these 40, and then you go to vipassana meditation. Or you can just practice vipassana meditation at the beginning without practicing any samatha meditation at all. So these are the three basic actions among the 10 wholesome karma of the sense sphere. And then number 4 is reverence. So being respectful to people, being respectful to elders, being respectful to the three gems, to the monks, and so on. When you pay respects to the monks and others, your mind has the one of the 8 karma vajra kusala chetas arising in it. So it is called wholesome karma. And then number 5 is service. So service to sick people, service to older people, service to monks, service to help people, to relieve suffering and so on. So that is service. So when you do service also, one of the eight kama vajra kusala chetas arise in your mind. And number six here is translated as transference of merit. The word transference, I don't like. So I say sharing of merit. Because transfer and share, I think they are different. When you transfer something, that means you change the place. When I transfer this thing from this place to this place, then this thing is no longer in this place. So if you transfer your merit to another person, then the merit will go to another person and no merit will be left in you. So this word transference is not so good. So we say sharing of merit. Again, sharing of merit should be understood not as sharing a cake. It is sharing a candle. When you share a cake, you get to eat only half. But when you share merit, your merit does not decrease. Actually, your merit increases because the sharing of merit is also merit. So you get double merit when you share merit after doing some meritorious deed. And sharing of merit is compared to letting other people light their candles from your candle. So you have a candle, and then other people come and light their candle from the candle. And the light of your candle does not decrease. Actually, it shines more with the light of other candles. So in this way, sharing of merit is not like sharing a cake, and so you do not lose any merit. Actually, you gain more merit. And not only do you gain more merit, but other people also get chance to get merit, depending on your merit. So you are helping other people also get merit by sharing merit. And when those who share your merit are the Pedas and others, the hungry ghosts and others, then they get the result of the share immediately. So sharing of merit is a very good practice. We should do whenever we do some meritorious deed. Dana or sila or meditation. And number seven is rejoicing in others' merit. That means simply saying sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So when you say sadhu, 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 that means you rejoice at the merit done by another person, or you accept his share of merit. If you do not say sadhu, 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 if you do not accept, then you do not get it. So in order to get the merit shared to you, and you have to accept it by saying sadhu, 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 or good, good, good. So when you accept the merit, that means you get merit yourself. Not that you get the merit of another person, but you get merit depending on the merit shared by another person. So not that merit of another person change place and come to you, but when you say, when you rejoice at the merit done by others, when you say sadhu, 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 when you say that, one of the eight kama vajra kusala chetas arises in your mind. So you get merit. The merit you get is dependent upon the merit that is shared by other persons. So sharing of merit can work for both one who shares and for those who accepts the share. And who gets the share of merit, they may even get immediate results. Now, we are human beings here, and we will say, let's say, I will share merits with you, and you say sadhu, 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 and you say sadhu, 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 and you get merit, and just that. Nobody gets the result immediately. But when merit is shared to those hungry ghosts who have our relatives or friends who have passed away and were born, reborn as hungry ghosts, and they share our merit, they say saru, saru, saru. It is said that they get the results immediately. They get free from that miserable state and they will become prosperous and happy. So sharing of merit and rejoicing at the merit is a very important kusala actions we should do whenever we do a merit. Sharing of merit and rejoicing in others' merit. Now, some people say we want to know, can we say sadhu, 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 even though merit is not shared to us? We see some people do some meritorious deed, and let's say they don't share merits with us, and we see them doing it, and we are happy about that. Can we say sadhu, 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 and get the share? Yes. So, whether merit is shared to you or not, you see somebody doing merit, and then you say, good, 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 sadhu, 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 then you get the share of merit. Okay. And number 8 is hearing the Dhamma, listening to the Dhamma talk, attending classes like this. So this is included in what? Bhavana, mental culture, hearing the Dhamma. So learning an innocent type of knowledge, not learning something with which to cause harm to others, but learning some innocent knowledge is also hearing the Dhamma. So it is also a kind of bhavana. And teaching the Dhamma, giving Dhamma talks and teaching classes like this, is also an act of kusala. And teaching other innocent subjects is also a teaching the Dhamma. So the number 8 is called Dhamma Savana. And number 9 is called Dhamma Desana. So, both hearing the Dhamma and teaching the Dhamma are included in the bhavana. And number 10 is straightening out one's views. That means getting the right view of things. Right view here means understanding that beings have karma only as their own property. So this is the belief in karma, the law of karma. Now Buddha always said, beings have karma as their own property. Karma is their matrix, or that is their mother. Karma is their relative. Karma is their refuge, and so on. So believing in the law of karma, or understanding that beings have karma alone as their property, and whatever they do, either good or bad, they will get the results of their karma. So this is called a straight view or correct view. And this correct view can take many forms. Believe in the karma as the property of beings, and also seeing the true nature of things during the practice of meditation. That is also a straightening out one's views. Before you practice meditation, you may think that things are permanent for some time at least. But when you practice meditation, you really see the objects coming and going through your own observation. Then you come to conclusion that nothing is impermanent. So when you see nothing is impermanent, you also see that things are bombarded by arising and disappearing. And there is nothing you can do about it. You have to accept what it is there. And so you see the impermanent nature, suffering nature, and non-soul nature of things. So seeing these three characteristics is also called right view. And the attainment of path is also called right view and so on. So here we are concerned with only kama vajra, sense fear, wholesome kama. So here right view means understanding of the law of kama and also seeing the three characteristics of all conditioned phenomena through vipassana meditation. So these are the 10 that are called 10 wholesome kamas. So there are two sets of 10 wholesome kamas. The first one is the opposite of the 10 unwholesome kamas, beginning with panadibada and so on. This list is different, and this begins with dana, sila, bhavana, and so on. Now, it is said that we can include the other ones in either dana or sila or bhavana. Now we have 10. We can put the others into dana or sila or bhavana, and so we will get only 3. So dana, sila, and bhavana, only 3, or the 10. Now, the reverence and service is included in sila, or keeping moral precepts pure, because it is a kind of practice being respectful to others and doing service to others. They are like practicing sila, and so they can be included in sila. And sharing of merit and rejoicing in others' merit is included in dana, giving. Now the first one is clearly dana, because when you share merit, you are giving a chance to other people to get merit. So that is a truly dana. And rejoicing in others' merit is also included in dana or giving, because it is connected with giving. And hearing the Dhamma and teaching the Dhamma and straightening out one's views is included in bhavana, meditation, or mental development. And also, the commentaries say that straightening out one's views can be related to all of them. Not just to bhavana, but also to dana and sila. Because only when you have straight view do you practice dana, sila, and so on. Because guided by this straight view, we do dana, we do sila, and so on. All these 20 kinds, unwholesome and wholesome, are known as kama, pertaining to the sense sphere. This is kama vajra kama. So 12, this is by way of arising of consciousness. So 12 unwholesome kamas and 8 wholesome kamas. That means 12 chetanas accompanying 12 akusala chetanas, and 8 chetanas accompanying 8 kama vajra kusala. So these 20 are called kama vajra kama. Kama pertaining to the sense sphere, that belongs to sense sphere. Now we come to rupa vajra kusala, or rupa vajra kama. Wholesome kama of the fine material sphere is purely mental action. Now, when you practice samatha meditation, you develop your mind. So meditation is not bodily action, not verbal action, but it is mental action. And only through meditation do you get jhana. So you practice samatha meditation and you get first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana. So when you get jhana, if you go back to mind or thought processes, Now you know that jhana consciousness arises in mind or thought processes. That means they are mental, they are not connected with physical actions. So the wholesome karma of fine material sphere is purely mental action. So no verbal action, no bodily action, but it is purely mental action. So it belongs to manokarma. It consists in meditation and it is bhavana. It is a development of mind. That has reached absorption. So when you practice bhavana, when you practice samatha meditation, you get concentration. First you get the neighborhood concentration, and then later you get the absorption concentration. Absorption concentration means jhana, jhana concentration. So the rupa vajra kusala action is one that has reached absorption, or it must be jhana, and is fivefold by distinction of jhana factors. So the rupa vajra jhanas are five in number, first, second, third, fourth, fifth. How do they differ one from another? They differ one from another by the number of jhana factors arising with them. Now, as you all know, the first jhana is accompanied by how many factors? Five factors. And the second jhana, four jhana. Third jhana, three. Fourth jhana, two. And fifth jhana also, two. So they differ from one another through jhana factors. So since there are five, four, three, two, and two, there are five rupa vajra kusala. So these five jhanas are called rupa vajra kusala kama. That means the chetana arising with them. And then arupa vajra. So you can gain arupa vajra jhanas also through practice of samatha meditation. And they are the same as rupa vajra kusala, so they are purely mental action. So you practice meditation and you get jhana, and the mind or thought process arises. They are also consist in meditation, so they are mental development. You have to practice mental culture or mental development to gain these jhanas. And when you gain these jhanas themselves are mental development. And then they have reached absorption. So before reaching absorption, the citta is kama vajra citta. When absorption arises, it is rupa vajra or arupa vajra. Here, arupa vajra citta. So they have those that have reached absorption. And this wholesome karma of immaterial sphere, arupa vajra kusala karma, is fourfold by distinction of the object. You can go back to the first chapter. The five rupa vajra jhanas differ from one another by way of factors. But the four rupa vajra jhanas differ from one another not by way of factors, because they all have two factors. Now the first arupa vajra jhana has two factors, the second, third, fourth has two factors. So they do not differ by way of jhana factors, but they differ by way of the objects they take. The first arupa vajra jhana takes what as object? The concept of space. So the first arupa vajra jhana takes the concept of space or infinite space as object. And the second arupa vajra jhana takes the first Arupa Vajra Jhana consciousness as object. And the third Arupa Vajra Jhana takes the absence of the first Arupa Vajra Jhana, nothingness of Arupa Vajra Jhana as object. And the fourth Arupa Vajra Jhana consciousness takes the third Arupa Vajra Jhana as consciousness, I mean as object. So each one of them differs from the others by way of the object each takes and not by way of factors. So they are here mentioned as fourfold by distinction of the object. Now, if you can turn the book to page 64. There is a diagram. Now, the immaterial sphere chetas. Now, cheta, number one, base of infinite space. So that is the first Arupa Vajra cheta. And its object, direct object, is concept of space. That means space. And two, base of infinite consciousness. That is the second one. The object of the second one is consciousness of infinite space. That means the first Arupa Vajra Chitta. And number three is called base of nothingness. And its object is concept of non-existence of the first Arupa Vajra Chitta. Because when the person gets the second Arupa Vajra Chitta, there is no more first Arupa Vajra Chitta. So it is no more at that time. So it is non-existent. That non-existence is taken as object when a person tries to get the third Arupa Vajra Jhana. So the object of the third Arupa Vajra Jhana consciousness is the concept of non-existence of the first Arupa Vajra Jhana consciousness. And number four, neither perception nor non-perception. This is the name of the fourth Arupa Vajra Chetta. And its object is consciousness of nothingness. That means just the third Arupa Vajra Jhana consciousness. So, they differ according to the objects they take. All of them have two jhana factors, upekha and ekagata. And there is also in the chart transcendent object. By transcendent object also, they are different from one another. The first chitta must transcend or go beyond the concept of kasina. And the second must go beyond concept of space. The third must go beyond concept of infinite space. And the fourth must go beyond concept of non-existence and so on. So each one of the Arupa Vajra Chetas has two kinds of object. The object they take and the object they have to transcend. They have to go beyond. So by direct object or by transcendent object, each one is different from another. And so the wholesome karma of immaterial sphere is fulfilled by distinction of the object. So up to now, we have covered the karma. Kama vajra karma, rupa vajra karma, and arupa vajra karma. And kama vajra karma is divided into akusala karma and kusala karma. And then Rupa Vajra is only Kusala. And Arupa Vajra also is only Kusala. And Lokottara or Subrahmandin Kama is not included here, because here it wants to show the karma that give results in future lives. So now we will try to see what karma gives what results, where and when. Now it is a little complicated. But complicated or not, we must go through it. Now, unwholesome karma. Now there are, let us say, 12 unwholesome chetas. So among them, all unwholesome karma excluding restlessness, that means that the last of the akusala, produces relinking or rebirth in the woeful plane. So akusala karma produces rebirth in apaya or woeful plane. Now first we must understand this. Unwholesome karma, except the last one, or let us say, unwholesome consciousness, except the last one, produce rebirth. In where? In the woeful plane. That means in hell, in animal kingdom, in hungry ghosts, and in the host of asuras. So in one of those, they will fructify. They will give result. The result they give is, first here, patisandhi or rebirth. So as a result of the 11 akusala chetas, a being is reborn in hell or as an animal, as a peta, or as an asura. But during the course of existence, that means after rebirth, during life, all 12 types of akusala consciousness give effect, that means produce results, to the 7 unwholesome resultants anywhere in the sensuous world, that means kama vajra world, or fine material world, or rupa vajra world, according to circumstances. Now, we must understand the resultants first. There are 7 resultant consciousness of akusala among the 18 ahitukas, and 8 resultant consciousness among the ahitukas. Now they are resultant of kusala, and then 8 resultant consciousness of kama vajra sobhana. And then 5 rupa vajra resultants and 4 arupa vajra resultants. So now we are to concentrate on the 7 resultant of akusala, 8 resultant of kusala among the ahiduga or rootless consciousness, and 8 resultant among the kama vajra sobhana. So here it is said, during the course of existence, that means during life, all 12 means all 12 akusalas, including the last one, give effect to the 7 unwholesome resultants. So these 12 will produce the 7 unwholesome resultants among the ahitukas or rootless consciousness, anywhere in the sensuous world, in the kama vajra world. How many realms are in the kama vajra world? 11. All the fine material world, how many? Fine material world, Brahma world, 15. We have to exclude the mindless beings. So, this is how akusala karma gives results. Now again, akusala karma, or the 11 akusala types of consciousness, excluding the last one, produces patisandhi in 4 woeful states. And all 12 produce results during life. So, can you tell me when a person, a being, takes patisandhi in the 4 woeful states, what is his rebirth consciousness? This one, right? So, let us say the 11 akusala chetas give the santirana as a rebirth result. And during lifetime, all 12 akusala chetas give these, all 7. In which realms? In all Kama Vajra realms and Rupa Vajra realms. So, as a result of akusala karma, excluding the last one, a person is reborn in hell, animal kingdom, among petas, or host of asuras. Then during life, that being suffers a lot of dukkha. That being sees undesirable sights. That being experiences undesirable noise or undesirable sound, undesirable smells, and so on. So when he experiences those undesirable objects during life, that is the result of the all 12 akusala chetas as one of these. So when he sees something ugly he doesn't want to see, then this is produced. When he hears something that he doesn't want to hear, the second cheta is produced, and so on. That is in the world of woeful states. Now, let us take human beings. When we are reborn as human beings, we are reborn as a result of kusala and not of akusala. So, the akusala jetas cannot give results as patisandhi or as rebirth to human beings. But during life, we encounter many undesirable things. We see undesirable objects, we hear undesirable sounds, we smell undesirable smells, and so on. When we experience something that we don't want to experience, then these 12 are producing the 7 resultants to us. So when we see something which we do not want to see, then the I consciousness arises in our mind. And that I consciousness is the result of akusala karma. So when we hear something we don't want to hear, then we have the hearing consciousness, which is the result of akusala. So, all 12 akusala karmas give the seven akusala resultant chetas as results during lifetime. So we have to differentiate the result as result at rebirth and result during lifetime. So I hope you remember. Now the result of akusala, we'll go back. Result of akusala. So among the 12, the last one is said to be too weak to produce rebirth result. So it cannot give rebirth because it is restlessness. And so it is restless and it is not strong. But the other 11, when they give rebirth as result, where do they give? In which realms? In the four woeful states, in the four lowest states. That is, at the moment of relinking, at the moment of rebirth. But during lifetime, now the restlessness, although it cannot produce rebirth results, it can produce during lifetime results. So with regard to during lifetime results, we have to take all the 12 akusalas as karma. And their results are the seven resultant of akusala among the rootless consciousness. And they produce these results in where? In all kamavacara planes, in all 11, including the four lowest plane, in all kamavacara plane, and also in rupavacara plane. You know, Brahma may sometimes look down to the human world and they may see undesirable objects. So they can arise in the Brahmas also, the seeing consciousness, the result of akusala, and hearing consciousness also. The eight kamavacara kusalas also produce the ahiduka results also. So it gives effect to the eight rootless resultants anywhere in the sensuous world. That means in all 11 kamavacara realms or the fine material world, rupavacara realm, according to circumstances. So the akusala have only akusala results, but kusala have the kusala results with roots and kusala results without roots. So two kinds of results. So kamavacara kusala gives both results with root and results without root. So the result of these eight, the kamavacara kusala, are the eight kamavacara vibhaka and the eight ahetuka vibhaka of kusala. So in the sensuous blissful plane, the eight gives these eight as result. And during lifetime, the eight gives the ahituka results anywhere in the sensuous world, anywhere in the kama vajra, and also in rupa vajra. So when we see something we want to see, when we see something desirable, then the seeing consciousness arises. Now this seeing consciousness is the result of one of these eight kamavacara kusala. And when we hear something we want to hear, when we smell something we want to smell also, these types of consciousness arise, And they are the result of the eight kamavajara kusalas. And Brahmas also can see desirable objects and they can hear the desirable sound. So in the Brahma world also, the eight kamavajra kusala can produce the ahetuka or rootless types of result and consciousness, but not smell, taste, and touch. So this much we have to understand first. So let us go back again, the kamavajra kusala. So kamavajra kusala eight here, they can give the patisanti result in what? Sensuous, blissful play. And when they give results, one of the eight resultant of kamavajra sovana will arise. So the result of these eight are the other eight that are resultants of kamavajra sovana. That is, at rebirth. And during lifetime, these eight can produce these eight also. And here, they can produce them in all Kama Vajra realms and Rupa Vajra realms. Now, if you have the 36 plane chart also, you can look at them and relate to them. This realm, and so on. This is the basis. Now we'll come to some detail. When we do meritorious deeds, we get kusala. And that kusala can be accompanied by two roots or three roots. Now, what are the roots? You go back to the third chapter. And in Pali, they are lobha, dosa, moha on the akusala side, and alobha, adosa, amoha. Alobha means non-attachment, adosa means non-hate, and amoha means non-delusion. Amoha really is knowledge, panya. So, when we do some meritorious deed, sometimes our kusala karma is accompanied by just two roots, non-attachment and non-hate. Sometimes it will be accompanied by all three roots, non-attachment, non-hate, and non-delusion. If we do some meritorious deed carelessly, not thinking about karma and its results and so on, then our kusala will be accompanied by only two roots. Because we do not invoke the knowledge to arise at that time. But if we do some meritorious deed with the understanding that there is what is called karma and there are what are called the results of karma, with that understanding, if we do the meritorious act, then our kusala is accompanied by three roots. So for our kusala to be accompanied by three roots, we must remember that there is karma and there are the results of karma. Or in other words, a belief in the law of karma. So with the belief, I don't want to use the word belief because belief could mean just blind faith. So with the understanding that there is karma and there are the results of karma, and also now I am doing this karma and so this karma will give results in the future, with that understanding we do the act, then our kusala is said to be accompanied by three roots. If we do karma carelessly, without thinking of the karma and its results, then knowledge will not be there. then our karma will be accompanied by only two roots. So there are two kinds of kusala. Two-root kusala, three-root kusala. That is karma vajra kusala, not rupa vajra and arupa vajra. Rupa vajra and arupa vajra kusalas are always three roots. If you do not use knowledge, you cannot get jhanas. So that is always accompanied by three roots. But the karma vajra kusala can be accompanied by only two roots, or it can be accompanied by three roots, depending on how we do the act. That is why it is important that whenever we do a meritorious deed, we must make it three-root and not two-root. Because only three-root kusala can give you three-root results. We do not want two-root results. No? If we get two-root results, we'll be doomed. We cannot get even jhana in that life. Okay, so there is three-root kusala. Again, this three-root kusala can be of superior quality and inferior quality. Here the word great is used. So superior grade and inferior grade. Three-root kusala. But three-root kusala can be of superior grade, or it can be of inferior grade. Here also we must see to it that it is superior grade and not inferior grade. How are we to do that? It's very important and it's very beneficial, right? So in order for our three-root kusala to be of superior grade, then we must see to it that this kusala is preceded by kusala and followed by kusala. That means, suppose you have decided to make an offering. So from the moment you decide to make an offering, you should be happy about that offering. Whenever you think about that offering, you should be happy. And that is one important thing. And then after doing the offering, when you look back to the offering action, you should feel happy. You should feel, you should have kusala. So to be preceded by and followed by kusala is one condition that makes it into a superior grade three-root karma. Only superior grade three-root karma will give the best result we want. So that is very important when we do meritorious deed. Try to make it three-root kusala. And not only that, but make it the superior grade three-root. Now you know what to do. You have to remember two things, right? First, karma and its results. I understand the karma and its results, or I believe in karma and its results. And then, before doing the act, you must have kusala citta regarding this act. And also, after doing it, you must be happy about that. You must not regret. So if you can take care of these two, then your kusala will be of three-root superior. If your three-root kusala is not preceded by and accompanied by kusala, then it becomes inferior grade. Although it is three-root, it is inferior grade. Two-root kusala can also be of two grades. Suppose we do kusala carelessly and we do not invoke understanding of the law of karma and so on. So our kusala is two-root. That means it is with two-root. And here also, it can be preceded and accompanied by kusala, or it cannot be. So here also, with regard to two-root kusala, there are two grades. superior grade and inferior grade. So now we have got how many kinds of kusala? Four kinds of kusala. Three root superior, three root inferior. Two root superior, two root inferior. And what about one root? There can be no one root kusala. So kusala must be either two root or three root. So now we have four kinds of kama vajra kusala. Again, they are three root superior, three root inferior, two root superior, two root inferior. So when they give results, they will give different results. Oh, it's almost 10 o'clock. Okay, you will get the results tomorrow.